Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be looking at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, in verses 30 to 44 as our beginning point. And the title of our study today is Things Broken. Things Broken. So let's turn together to Mark chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, we want to begin reading in verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and he told him all things, both they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. We want to notice in our passage today, notice with me in verse number 41 of Mark 6, verse 41. We want to notice, it says, And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. We see before the 5 loaves of bread could be used of God, not only did Jesus have to bless the loaves, but he also had to break them. Once this was done, the loaves were mightily used of God. We see that 5,000 men, not counting women and children, were fed. So the actual number fed was greater than 5,000. The Bible principle that we want to see here in our study is this. If God is going to use a thing or a person, it must be broken first. We see this principle time and time again in the Scriptures. The Bible is just so rich with examples that illustrate this principle so vividly. Today on our study, I want us to look at some of these examples and then apply this principle to you and I. The first example I would like us to look at is found over in Mark 14. In Mark chapter 14, we have the anointing at Bethany of Jesus with precious ointment for his burial. Mark chapter 14, let's begin in verse number 3, and we'll read down to verse number 9. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Notice in verse 3, it says she brake the box and poured it on his head. Some things that we want to know here, amen? First of all, the ointment was of great value, was it not? We read in verse 3, an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And then we also read in chapter 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. However, we see this very precious box of ointment, this very expensive box of ointment, was of no use to God unless it was broken and used to anoint his dear son for burial. If you think about it, the woman who had the ointment must have been broken herself, because she could have sold it for her own gain. No, but instead, she used the box of ointment for the purpose that God had intended it. My dear friends listening today, how many of us listening are broken enough to use something God has given us for his purpose instead of our own? Let's look at the next illustration. The next illustration is found in the book of Acts, chapter 27. And in Acts chapter 27, you may be familiar that we see that Paul, with some other men on the ship that's taking him to Rome, are in a terrible storm. Amen. And of course, we know that Jesus had told Paul, had warned him, you're going to lose the ship, but you're not going to lose any life. But I want us to look, as we look at the account of the Apostle Paul's shipwreck, I want us to notice together the last verse of Acts 27, verse 44. Notice what it says. Notice what it says. In the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces. There's that word broken again. The rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. It so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Some were able to swim, and they swam to land. They jumped off the boat, amen. But others weren't able to swim. So they used the boards of the boat and the broken pieces of the boat to get them safely to shore. And we're told that they, as a result of this, they all escaped safely to shore on broken pieces of the ship. You see, the ship in the storm was of no use. It would have brought Paul and the men on that ship to a watery grave. But God broke it up to save men's lives. The ship was no use in the storm until it was broken. As Christians, we cannot survive the storms of life until we are broken by God for his use. The next example I want us to look at is found over in Psalm 51, a psalm of David. In Psalm 51, look with me, if you would, in verses 16 and 17. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. Paul, or David, tells us this about God, what he desires. David says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." David tells us, the sacrifices that God desires from you and I are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And why is this? Well, God can use a person with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart because they've been broken. God cannot use a prideful spirit and a prideful heart. We saw this in the example of King Saul. King Saul was disobedient to God and wanted to do things his way. The Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 25 to 28 who God chooses and uses. God doesn't call and use wise men after the flesh. God doesn't call and use the mighty. God doesn't call and use the noble. No. Instead, God calls and uses, what does he use? The foolish things of this world, the weak things, the base things of this world. And why is that? Because these things and the people who possess them have already been broken. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. For example, breaking a wild horse before you can ride it. You can't ride that horse, that wild horse. It's not used to having someone on its back. It has to be broken so it can be ridden, to be use of man. And how about breaking in a baseball glove, a new glove? Amen. It has to be oiled and broken in. Amen. Before it can be useful. Amen. You know, I've found the best people to train and break in and to do a particular job, be it at a ministry at the church or in a secular job, is someone with no experience. The reason being, these folks can really be used. They are eager to learn. They know that they know nothing. And they want to learn and be used and be useful, amen? A lot of times, if you get someone to train who has had some experience, they come with preconceived notions on how things should be done. Sometimes they don't like the way you do things. See, these people cannot be used. You know, for example, someone who has gone to a Bible college or a Bible institute, I'm not saying that that's wrong, it's good to go, but sometimes folks that do go to Bible colleges and Bible institutes come out, instead of having a humble spirit and being a blessing to the pastor, they sometimes come out with an attitude of, I know and you don't, and I'm going to straighten you out, amen, in your ministry. See, the bottom line is, folks like this cannot be used with that attitude. God likes no experienced people, because he can break them in his way. Amen. As we continue our study in broken things today on the pastor study, let's turn together to Numbers 12. And it tells us something interesting about Moses, a very prominent figure in the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 12, I want us to look at verse 3 together. Notice in Numbers 12, verse 3, what it says. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, the Bible tells us that Moses was the meekest man on the earth, not the weakest. By meek, it means giving in to God, doing what God tells you to do, being obedient to God, doing His will and not your will. That's why God used Moses so mightily. However, we need to remember that Moses did not become the meekest man on earth overnight, amen? Because we have to remember that he was brought up in the household of Pharaoh. He was given all the comforts that life could afford. He was given a great worldly education, amen? So it took God 40 years. He took Moses. He called Moses at age 40. But then he took him out of the picture. Amen. For 40 years to the backside of a mountain. Tending sheep. So God could knock the world out of Moses. So God could break Moses. So Moses could be mightily used of him. Amen. Notice with me in Numbers 12 and verses 1 and 2. We see the reason why God did not use Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. Numbers 12 and verses 1 and 2. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You know, amen, when you murmur against the man of God, amen, you're murmuring against God himself. God hears it, amen. And, of course, we know what happened. We know that the Lord gave leprosy. Miriam turned leprous, amen, and then of course Moses, her brother, interceded and the Lord God took the leprosy away. But see, we see that Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses. They had a prideful attitude, did they not? We read in verse 2. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. In other words, they had the attitude of this. They had a very prideful attitude. They were saying, in essence, who does Moses think he is? Does he have a monopoly on God? Amen? Does God only listen to Moses? God can use us and has. What we see here is Moses was broken, amen, but Aaron and Miriam were not. And that's why God was able to use Moses in a mighty way. The next example we want to see of broken things is the case of Samson. Samson. And of course, we find out about Samson in Judges chapter 16, amen. Judges chapter 16, a very famous character of Scripture. We see that Samson had such a bright future ahead of him, did he not? He was a Nazarite, or a Nazarite, from his mother's womb. No, he wasn't from Nazarene, he was a Nazarite. In other words, God told his mother to separate her son that was to be born, Samson, from strong drink and wine, and he was not to eat anything of the grapevine at all. No razor was to come upon his head, and he was not to come in contact with any dead body. In other words, he was separated unto the Lord before he was born. He was mighty in strength. We read in Judges how the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson reminds me of a person who gets saved at an early age, grows up in a Christian home, and has all his life ahead of them to look forward to serving the Lord. However, we know the story of Samson. Samson blows it big time. He gives in to the desires of the flesh, riotous living. He meets Delilah and gets the famous haircut that we all know about, and the Spirit of the Lord leaves him. He lost all his spiritual power. Why? Because he fought God and wouldn't let God break him and use him as God wanted. Instead, he was off doing his own thing like many of us are doing. Amen. What was the result of Samson's sowing? We read the sad account of what Samson reaped. It says in Judges 16:21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They blinded him first and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. They blinded him and they bound him, and he did grind in the prison house. Amen. He was binded, blinded, and he grinded. Amen. Sad story. However, we see finally that Samson has been broken. As a result, Samson has one last revival, and God is finally able to use him. Look with me, if you would. In Judges 16, verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. There were 3,000 men and women, Philistines, up on the roof. Amen. They were watching Samson. They were making fun of him. They were mocking him. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other on his left. And of course we know that Samson brought the house down. And we see the testimony because he was finally broken. We're told in verse 30, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Amen. You see, my dear friend, the lesson to be learned, if we'll only let God break us, then he'll use us in a mighty way. I pray none of us have to wait until the very end of our lives to allow the Lord to break us in order to use us. Also, we see as our next example in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we have the Lord's Supper mentioned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we want to look at verses 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 11 with me. Verses 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. There's that word break again. And said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that God the Father had to break God the Son. Amen. Why? So he'd be able to save us. Our Lord didn't struggle with the Father. The night before he faced the suffering on the cross, he prayed to the Father, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus had to be literally and physically broken to be used of the Father to save us. The Lord Jesus Christ was broken, rejected, a man of sorrow. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 7, 2 Corinthians 4:7, The Bible tells us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The earthen vessel spoken here in Scripture is the Christian's body. The treasure is the Holy Ghost. The Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them. Do you know how God shows the whole world your treasure? Why he breaks you and I. How else can the Lord shine out if the outer shell is not broken? God is in the business of breaking people, of their pride and self. We read over in 2 Corinthians 12 when Paul says, Lord, my infirmities are about to kill me. The Lord replies, good, let them kill you. Why was this? So the power of God might be manifest. Amen. John the Baptist said, in reference to Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. The only way that's going to happen is if you allow God to break you. You're going to go through series of trials and troubles and tribulations as a Christian. And they are going to keep breaking you and breaking you until you are no more you, but Christ. Paul the Apostle said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you know what that man went through to get to this point? Did you ever read the perils of Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 in verses 23 to 31? He lists all the things that he went through, how he was in the deep, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten of his own countrymen, he was stoned once and left for dead, amen. In fact, it tells us in Acts 14:19, tells us that Paul was stoned, taken outside the city of Lycaonia, and left for dead. You know, over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 23 to 31, where Paul lists all the things, all the troubles he went through, he ends with this. He says in verse 31, he says this, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. What Paul was saying is about all the perils and trials that he went through, it might be hard for someone or some folks to believe it, amen, that one person could go through all these trials and tribulations. But Paul is saying, as God is my witness, it happened. He said, knoweth that I lie not. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. You see, Paul was broken, broken, broken. And the more you get broken, the more God will shine out, the more he will use you. The less you are broken, the less God will use you. Christian, it's up to you. You can choose to be broken or not broken. You can choose to do it your way or God's way. The Father's will for your life and my life is for us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, was rejected, and broken. And if you're going to be used of God, so won't you. What's it going to be, Christian? Are you going to let God break you so he can use you? So you can be formed, conformed to his image, amen, to the image of his Son? Or are you going to fight him every step of the way so you can remain conformed to this world? If you're listening today and you're not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to fall upon him for salvation and let him break you of your sin and own life. He wants to break you of that sin and of your old life, amen. Maybe he's been trying to get your attention by bringing in some trouble into your life to show you that you need to be saved. If you do not get broken today, someday you'll wake up in the lake of fire and be broken then, amen? But it'll be too late because you will spend eternity in the lake of fire with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Well, my dear friends, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study.